Denny, how you doing, man?
Be thankful, Morty. Just be thankful.
Well, correct. We should be thankful.
That's the big lesson of this week. Be thankful.
Is the big lesson? Be thankful.
I mean,
that's actually a thing that people talk about in psychiatry. Apparently, it's the cure to the modern-day epidemic of loneliness is to be grateful. If you write down two or three things every day that you're grateful for that have happened that day, even if they're little things, like I saw a dog and he was having a great time, then you can write that down and eventually you'll feel a bit better about everything. Apparently, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. Well, I'll keep that in mind, Dr. Wong. But in case you couldn't tell, we're doing Rick and Morty Season 5, Episode 6. And it's called, are you ready for this? Rick and Morty's... Clearly not.
I'm ready, Dan. Yep.
Rick and Morty's thanks...
I'm ready, Dan. You can say it whenever you want.
I will kill you. I will kill you.
All the way from Scotland.
Yeah, just wish a brain aneurysm. Rick and Morty's Thanksploitation Spectacular. So there you go. Wow.
I'm ready, Dan.
You know, last season there was a big season break, and it was only five episodes we got, and we had to wait about 8 weeks for them to pull their finger out their arses and get a full season out. But now we've got a full season. You know,
full season. It's very exciting.
We don't have to review 42 from Doctor Who, the season 3 episode with a son that's alive somehow. Yay! We get to prolong that agony a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just like a spectre in the distance that one day we'll have to get there and do it.
Absolutely, it's like you know that you need to go home and just empty the dishwasher, but you're gonna go into Tesco for a meal deal before you do that. You know, so
it's exactly like that. Yeah, I can't think of a better analogy.
No, that's why I said it. You know.
Well, yeah.
But this episode was written by James Siciliano, and it was directed by Doug Einar Olsen, and it is starring Justin Roiland, Spencer Grammer, Sarah Chalk, Chris Parnell, and Keith David. Always love it when Keith David's in.
Yeah,
Rick and Morty.
He's really good.
He is. Do you have an opening statement?
I do. It's like, it's as though the writer, director, Rick and Morty people have read my mind from last week, and now they've made an episode, which is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go on, have you got one?
An episode with a bit more coherency that discusses Thanksgiving and its links with genocide and unabashed nationalist propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there you go. Do you want to hear the caption before we...
I would love to. More than anything in the world.
Amazing.
More than winning the lottery, I would like to hear the caption.
So would I, even though I know what it is. Gobble, gobble, bruh. Rick and Morty giving thanks in this one. So, I mean, everything that the caption says happens, I guess.
True.
Yeah. So, do you have any creepy room questions, statements?
I have a creepy room statement.
Go on.
It's absurdism plus criticism is a good episode of Rick and Morty. And that's sort of what we've got here. Nothing matters. Your country doesn't matter. It's all just random happenstance that two warring alien factions crashed to Earth and then decided that they hated dinosaur turkeys.
Yeah.
And then all that really matters is things that you choose to matter. Everybody bows to Beth. The president, Rick, Morty, everybody's just like, oh, I'm so sorry, Beth. Let's go and have Thanksgiving dinner. We're back. It's back.
Absolutely. I mean, it feels like the whole be thankful thing. It's just like, yeah, history's a fucking mess. And you can't really do anything to change it. So just be thankful somehow for the things that you've got. Like you were saying about the therapy thing. So it all ties in.
If we scripted this episode, if we pretended in 10 years or something, when we've been doing this for about a million years, in however long, if we pretend, oh no, the entire podcast was scripted, then we will look like geniuses.
Absolutely.
Manipulating cosmic probabilities to our whims and just making the most beautifully scripted audio drama so real that people believe it is our actual lives.
Yeah.
If that were the case, we would look amazing. But it's not the case. And in fact, we're just two idiots.
Yeah, true. It's like, you say that, and then, look, Shouting Into the Void podcast comes to an end after 86th episode. Next week we just have a massive falling out. It just fucking cripples the entire thing. Who has the moral high ground in this? Is it Rick or is it the president?
Oh, Jesus. Right, I literally watched this episode about an hour ago and I've already forgotten the intricacies of their motivations. So, Rick's motivation is to get a pardon so that he can continue to just do whatever he wants.
Yes.
And the president's motivation is that he doesn't want to give Rick a pardon because he wants Rick to face justice for what he's done.
Yes.
Okay. In that case, sort of neither of them, really, then. Because they're both kind of pointless. The president, they have a vendetta against one another.
Yeah.
In reality, Rick isn't really doing anything to harm the overall situation in the United States or anywhere in the world, really. So, while he has done atrocious things, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he doesn't appear to actually have, like, engaged in any horrific things in the US. So, does he really? Is, considering the amount of hassle and death that would come from him trying to imprison him, is it really worth it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that would be like saying, oh, well, I mean, he's really powerful, but so we just have to sort of let it happen. Otherwise, good people will die, you know?
That's a good point.
It's like, at what point do you go, well, he's too powerful, and it's just better if we just leave him alone. But even the Intergalactic Federation realise that. That if you're if Rick is left alone, he's a non-threat. You know, because he's constantly trying to get away from the government and stuff like that. So if he's just sort of left to his own devices, he doesn't really do anything too...
Mm.
Hazardous.
But that's the sort of paradox of Rick. It's like he wants to get away from the government and he wants sort of a peaceful life and all the rest of it. But equally, if he had that, if he just had life on a planet with unlimited beer or whatever, that's not really what he wants.
Yeah.
He would keep on digging for something that's not really there.
Yeah, definitely. Rick's right about the term terrorist and how it's just used by anyone.
Yep.
And anything just to these people are bad. They're terrorists.
I think
kids throwing stones at a wall. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's sort of a symptom of a bigger problem, which is like there's probably some kind of advanced word for it that I don't know because I'm just some fuckface from the Midlands. But
yeah,
I think that. It's sort of like idea politics, like buzzword politics,
yeah.
Where you don't actually really need to come up with a manifesto or to come up with any kind of like a list of things you're going to do during your presidency or your prime ministership. That can't possibly be the word.
I think administration.
Or tenure? That's the word. You don't need to come up with a list of things you're going to do in your administration. If you just get up on the stage and string together enough buzzwords that people think, oh, yeah, he sounds like he's saying the right thing.
Absolutely.
And it happens on sort of both sides of the aisle, because that's how Donald Trump got into power, and then that's how Joe Biden got into power.
Yeah.
Because he strung together words like student debt and immigration and et cetera, et cetera. And now he's in power and not actually delivering on anything he promised in his campaign.
No.
So, do you know what I mean? It's the whole terrorist thing where Rick is like, you just call everybody a terrorist. It's true, because it's just another sort of stepping stone along the road of sort of idea politics.
Yeah, that's just anyone who dares challenge you. It's just, oh, you terrorist. It's like, well, is he though? Are they? Like, who? Point them out.
Mm.
Are they in this courtroom? Like, it's like, you know, it's...
Are they inflicting terror? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... There's a lot of terror that states enact. Is that terrorism? But I suppose it's outside the state, which is very convenient.
Yes, it is terrorism. Yeah. Yes, that is terrorism. I'm comfortable telling you.
It's perfect that Rick fights the American government. Because it's like both are just
24/7.
Like, yeah, it's like, it's kind of like... They've made references to it before, like Doctor Who, like the sort of spin on if the Doctor was to like fight UNIT, it would just, you know, be like that, you know, because UNIT would just call up the Doctor. Like, that was the whole thing about him fighting the president in season 3. I used to watch old episodes of Doctor Who when I think John Pertwee was the Doctor. This military branch called UNIT would just call him and just be like, yeah, we have a problem for you. And we just thought that'd be a cool idea to explore. Mm. It's like, that is a cool idea, and obviously Rick is just going to be like, Jesus Christ, this is so boring. And then just wage a one-man war on the government there. I like that it's like a sort of weird codependent relationship, like a really toxic bromance between...
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It's
here's a hot question. Are the president and the vice president supposed to represent Obama and Biden?
That's yeah, I would say so.
Because it's sort of the president is obviously he's black, and he sort of makes that point of saying to his vice president in this episode, "I only need you because I need 10% of such and such vote."
Yeah, exactly.
It's like it's demographic politics is what he's sort of the point he's making there.
Yeah.
So that was the thing when he said that, I was like, "Hang on, is that why Biden was picked as the VP during Obama's term? Is that so?" I have no idea if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I don't think anybody will ever know unless Obama releases some kind of tell-all autobiography in final weeks. But I don't know.
I would be very surprised if Joe Biden was just like, you know, the right man for the job that Obama came to, you know. I think it is a bit of a... Yeah, we need an old white man to sort of, you know... We don't want things getting too hectic. Do I mean, like, you know...
Let's not make too much progress, guys. Let's not be too tolerant. Come on now.
You just calm down. That is certainly what it feels like, and I think that's certainly the case with when it was Obama. I mean, not that Obama was like a big... progressive or anything, you know, he was pretty establishment in terms of his politics, but like,
yeah,
it's just America's racist enough that you still need another white guy with you just in case, you know. It's like it's kind of fucked.
Yeah, it's super fucked. You're completely right.
Yes.
One part of this episode I did like was how sort of if you view the president as sort of a I'm sure there's a word for it. The word effigy is coming to mind, but I'm certain that's not the right word. A sort of a figurehead for, or a metaphor. That's the fucker.
There you
as
go.
A metaphor for colonialism as a whole.
Uh-huh.
Then sort of, I like that it shows that he can only be in the position of power that he's chosen for himself if he stands on the back of poor and oppressed people. He can only be in the position of power if he returns these alien soldiers to their sort of. Is it a hibernation, really? Or is it some kind of imprisonment? And then they make sort of offhand comments about how the soldiers don't get healthcare and the soldiers are massively underpaid. And there's in the cornfields that the alien soldiers sort of conjure out of the earth. One of the soldiers says, "This is too much for me to be putting up with, to be paying for college," or words to that effect. Yeah. Anyway. And I think it's sort of nice to see in a world that's as absurd as this, it's the president can only stand on his own two feet if he's also standing on the shoulders of all of the people below him.
Yeah, definitely.
That he's imagined to be in this hierarchy. Yeah,
absolutely. It's like it's commenting on how like propaganda serves countries and also like the myths about nations and stuff like that, and how much they like play a part in like how you think of a nation. Because like I imagine. If you think of like the birth of America, you think, you know, this noble cause fighting against, you know, tyranny and overthrowing the British. And that's the sort of image that people like to think about. But also, you know, there was George Washington who had slaves and, like, you know, black people were excluded from the Constitution as well as women. Mm. You know, it was like, so it's like, there's the myth and then there's the fact. And I like the fact that they just say, no, it was absurd why America came to what it was and why Thanksgiving is the way it is, you know?
It's just happenstance.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is one of my long-standing theories is that the reason that games like Dungeons & Dragons, Call of Cthulhu, all that sort of stuff are so popular is because of the sort of element of random chance in them.
Yeah.
Like video games have a predetermined story that you must follow. It's like you're sent in a movie. But, like, sort of RPGs and tabletop games and stuff, there is an element of randomness there.
Yeah.
You can't possibly predict what's going to happen next, because that's what life is.
Yeah, absolutely.
If the 13 US colonies had sort of collapsed under distance from Britain, then we would be reading very different history in textbooks. There would be no such thing as the United States of America. I don't know what would be there instead.
Yeah.
But just see what I mean? It's just happenstance that we live in the world we live in.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole cosmic horror thing. It's fear of the unknown and the randomness of the universe and how, you know, chaotic it is, and just the fact that I mean they could, like, I mean they made a good point about, like, well, not really a good point, but they made a quip about how Summer's generation has to talk about how Thanksgiving is, like, linked to genocide, and it absolutely is. I don't know why they're saying that, like, frivolously. They could have made it, like, a bit more meaningful like that, but I mean, I suppose maybe I'm asking a bit too much.
No, I don't think you are. I think that's the kind of thing that I think present day, well, I say present day Summer, you know what I mean. Summer in this most current season, this most current episode and all the rest of it. It's the kind of thing you could see her saying to an authority figure. She's sort of inheriting Rick's callousness, Rick's disregard for authority. I think it wouldn't be a stretch for her to just look the President of the United States in the eye and say Thanksgiving is inextricably linked to genocide. I think that's something I could see her saying, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I just wish it was more about how that is, like, skewed and, like, you know, is like a commentary on that and how terrible it was, rather than, oh, look, it wasn't an imperialist genocidal conflict. It was aliens the entire time. You know.
yeah.
But I told you it was getting more like Family Guy. Instead of a chicken fight, we've had a turkey fight now, so it's getting up there.
Yeah, next we'll have an eagle fight, and then after that it'll be a penguin fight.
Yep.
That'll be in the Rick and Morty spin-off, and then the spin-off of that spin-off.
Or when Stewie fights that turtle, and Mario, oh, God, yeah. Mario is the Ex Machina, just shows up.
Or when Peter tries to throw that frog out of the window, we'll have that with Rick, and he's trying to throw, like, Pickle Rick out of a window or something.
Super Mario? What are you doing here?
I jump on a turtle, Stewie. It's not an exciting life, but it's my life.
Okay, so there's an assassin robot in Lady Liberty?
Yeah. That gets dropped really quickly.
Because I do like that the implication is that was been there since the I was going to say the dawn of time, since Lady Liberty was put there, which I think would have been
so the French
very
did it.
Early 1900s.
Yeah.
So their technology... Well, hang on. When was Statue of Liberty? 1875. So
are the French responsible for that? Or is that...
The French in 1870... Well, that was the implication, wasn't it? It's a Trojan horse, never trust the French.
Which is a thing... that people say.
Yeah, it's a bit of a blanket statement.
Yeah.
But so the implication is that 1875 France had the technology to make an assassin robot, hide it inside of a statue, and then
somehow,
give it to America?
And somehow France aren't the superpower of the world at this point. Like, I mean, what? I'm sorry? I mean, I just have a feeling that maybe we're giving them too much credit. You know, because, like, some episodes are so meaningful. Like, the one where Evil Morty returns, that is, like, an absolutely amazing satire on how American politics works and how, you know, a figure like Trump could, like, rise to power and stuff like that. But, like...
The one when Evil Morty returns? What do you mean? Which one?
Well, they just focus completely on the Citadel for an episode.
Oh, Christ. And that was the one where, at the end, people get flushed out into space.
Yeah, and, like, Morty wins the election, and it's, like, a few Ricks that they focus on, and it's, like,
yeah,
about...
Yeah, like, the Steve Jobs Rick and the... Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, all the big capitalist leaders get killed at the end if they don't obey the, you know, Evil Morty. So it's, like, that was really interesting, and it was dark, and it was, like... You could definitely feel as if there was something else going on behind the scenes, whereas, like, I feel as if now it's just, yeah, and Lady Liberty, fucking evil assassin, shove that in, and then they forget about it, and then, oh yeah, shit, what about, forget it, we'll get it next time, you know?
No, yeah, that's a good point. There are some alleys that could have been explored a bit greater. Like, why were the aliens fighting? What was that all about?
Yeah.
Could they could have made that like a sort of it's turtles all the way down type situation. Yep. And had, oh, well, this civilization was fighting against their own version of turkey dinosaurs, etc., etc., etc. But that could have been an interesting commentary on what does it really mean to be sort of saved in a situation. But no, they didn't.
I do like how the Congress is just treated like, yeah, we would absolutely sell out the freedom of the nation for power. It's like, well, I like that. You know, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it is pretty accurate. Apart from maybe with what's his face, Bernie Sanders. I think he seems too angry to.
Yeah,
sell out.
I don't think
he's sort of too angry and old.
I don't think like people at AOC would, or you know, Ilhan Omar, people like that. But you know, there's. It's quite a few that would be like, yeah, I'm up for that, boy.
Did you know Bernie Sanders is 6'1"?
He looks so much smaller, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks like a... Because you see him and you get the sort of the vibe of like a small old man. You know, when you see like an old man walking on the street and they're like a bit hunched over and they've got a walking stick or something. He's really tall.
The fact is, this country has been at the mercy of turkeys for too long.
That's my Bernie Sanders impression.
I've never actually heard his voice.
Oh, well, that's
that might not be how he speaks.
Fucking pointless. He speaks like... Yeah, you listen to his voice and it's like, we have been at war with these turkeys for so long. Like that. It's like Joe Pesci. I did like the line that about the at-at thing. And
yeah,
millennials.
That was weird.
And
I didn't
millennials.
Really get that.
Millennials refer to it as an 8080. That is so true. I know people that watch the original Star Wars and they go, oh, look, there's an AT-AT. And I'm like, do you mean an 8080? And they're like, what? I've had conversations like that, so that was nice. I felt seen.
I see. I like the cabbage monster that came out of Rick's house.
Yeah.
It was like a Day of the Triffids monster. That was really good.
Yeah, no, I like that as well. Well, we found out the president's name in this episode.
Yeah, what is it?
Curtis.
Ah, well, there we
go.
Wow.
I mean,
Wow.
I kind of liked that he was just called the president. You know, it made him more of like... Because, you know, he's a commentary on the sort of modern-day neoliberal imperialism of America.
Mm.
And I liked that is like... It's just, you know... America, and I'll do whatever I can for America, and we'll, you know, we're the president of the world, but you didn't hear that from me. You know, it's like that sort of thing. I don't like that he's now got, you know, he's an actual like human being. I like that he's like sort of Rick in that sense, that both of them are incredibly powerful individuals that represent a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But
I do feel the need to say that. I watched the episode 2 and I didn't clock his name. So maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention, but maybe they didn't say it quite aggressively enough. Was it? I don't remember when they said it. Was it just an offhand comment?
I think it was in the bar when he was giving his speech to the turkey troops. I can't actually remember, but I did write it down. So his name is Curtis. So I mean, that could have been anyone though. Now that I'm thinking about it, do people just die when I name them?
That's my favourite line. It's just, oh, that's just so brilliant. It's just, it encompasses, right, here, this is not a hot take. This is a take I've been sitting on for a while. This is a stewed take.
Go on.
The best jokes are jokes that imply a longer story without telling the story. So, do people just die when I name them? That's a good one.
Yeah.
Another good one, which is also quite versatile, is it's finally happening. If something happens and the person it happens to says, it's finally happening, or no, I never believed this would actually happen, or something like that. That implies they've imagined this situation before, or they had a dream about it, or whatever it might be. They had like a spiritual vision, and that tells a story within the joke. And that keeps, that sort of intensifies the humour, I think. I really like that.
No, I absolutely agree.
So yeah, that's my stewed take for the day. I've only got one note left.
Go on, Pez.
Flesh-covered robots. I really liked that. That was, I think I know flesh when I see it. Oh, Morty, those flesh-covered robots. It's, I don't know, it's something about how the simplest, stupidest ideas can just overcome a lot of sort of extravagant solutions. I really liked it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we have to take it to its logical conclusion, that soldier has thought about flesh-covered robots, and Rick has also anticipated that one of the present soldiers could see flesh and know it's flesh when he sees it. I'm like, right, shit, I better make some flesh-covered robots then, instead of, I don't know, silk.
Literally anything else.
Yeah. No, I do like that. But I think I'm out of notes.
I am also out of notes.
Yeah. This was a... Do you have a closing statement?
I do, yes. I'm going to make one up on the spot. Prepare yourself for this.
Oh.
So what's happened to New York then? Has Lady Liberty sort of given New York to the French? Has she, like, picked it up and carried it to France?
Oh, be thankful, Lewis. Be thankful.
Be thankful. Yep. Be thankful there that France go. Now owns New York in this universe.
Maybe that was France's plan all along. It was maybe it was the Jacobites, and as soon as they killed the monarchy, they would get to the point where they would get New York back. I mean, it's like, it really seems like a lot of effort for like one city, now that I'm thinking about it. Is it a swing state, the state that holds New York? I don't know.
New York State? Yes, massively. Because New York has such a huge population density. It's like New York and California, I think.
Well, there you go.
Are two of the biggest swing states in the country.
I've just worked out the entire French plot. But also maybe...
Overthrowing monarchies from 1875 to 2020.
Yeah.
2021.
And try and sabotage a democracy that overthrew a monarchy. I don't know. Anyways,
there's
thankful.
There, maybe. Let's not think too hard.
Be thankful, folks. That's what you need to take away. Also, politicians fucking suck. There you go.
Yep.
Woo!
Woo!
Lots of big messages in this one, bruh.
Yeah, bruh. Okay, bruh. Have you got the shilling, bruh?
Well, let me give my closing statement, Lewis.
I thought your closing statement was politicians are shit.
Well, no, that's an epilogue. This is the closing statement.
It's your Twitter bio. Politicians are shit. Vote for me in the upcoming.
Yeah, politicians are fucking shite. So vote for me, a politician. My closing statement is gobble gobble. There you go.
Yeah, so, like Tommy Gobbler from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. You got it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's do some capitalist shit. Can you,
yeah,
Rick and Morty, Dan Harmon, can you give us an episode that works? Apparently, I saw the teaser for the next one, and apparently it's okay. It's huge pickle Rick potential. Apparently that's what Rick said himself. Like he throws the family out and said, as soon as you leave, it's going to be pickle Rick potential. So,
no.
Or was that episode 8?
I think I've accidentally downloaded the next episode. I think is it the Power Rangers thing?
Oh wait, so it's not sequence? It's not the next episode. It's the episode after the next episode. So there you go. But we all have link trees. Lewis's link tree is linktr.
Perfect segue.
Lewis's link tree is linktr.ee/Lewis_Brindley. Mine's is /O'Hiram, and the podcast's is /Shouting Into the Void. There you will find our socials, our Instagram, our Facebook, our YouTube. Go have a look, see what you fancy. We post there quite regularly now with the bullshit segments, and yeah, we enjoy it. So go have a look.
We do.
Yeah.
We enjoy it, so you better enjoy it.
Yeah, you fuck. We have a PayPal donate button, so anything you can spare, anything. Yeah, call them a fuck and then beg them for money. anything you can spare, anything at all, you fuck. Be really appreciated. We also have Patreon, and we want to take the opportunity, as we do every week, to thank our wonderful, wonderful patrons. Chloe.
Thank you.
Darius.
Thank you.
Peter.
Thank you.
Aditya.
Thank you.
Richard.
Thank you.
Natalie.
Thank you.
And Doogie.
Thank you, one and all. You make the podcast possible, and you allow us to make the show how we want to make it, which is apparently inane nonsense, talked about at great length.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much for enjoying the show and for your more solid, concrete support. It means the world, so thank you very much.
Absolutely. We also have merch on Teespring and Redbubble, tote bags, jumpers, mugs, all sorts of shit. go have a look, get yourself something nice. Christmas is on its way, and it'll probably be some relative that you don't like's birthday, so get them something extra tacky to just piss them off, you know?
Do you know something insane that I learned about birthdays?
What?
If two people are in a room, there is a greater than 50% chance that they have the same birthday.
Wow. That sounds like the time when you were lit. There's probably someone exactly like you out there. And I was like, what? And you were like, yeah, there's probabilistically there's going to be someone exactly like you out in the wilderness somewhere. And I was like, but that would mean that there's double of like everyone on the planet for that to work. And you were like, no, that's not what I'm saying. And I was like, what are you saying? And you were like, oh, fuck off, Danny. And then I went to my room and cried. Anyway, last but not least, we are partnered with an amazing company called Number 12 Crochet Avenue, and Lewis is going to say some wonderful things about them, all of which are true.
Indeed I am. Number 12 Crochet Avenue is a wonderful company run by my wonderful wife in which they crochet and they're very, very good at it. And if you would like to bless your Instagram feed with some wonderful content, you can go to @Number12CrochetAvenue on Instagram, give them a cheeky follow, and you will not regret it.
Absolutely not. Well, that's episode 6 of season 5 of R&M. So,
indeed it is.
Yeah, I am going to go... R and L, and no, no, wait,
R and R,
that's
for?
It.
There we go.
Fucking hell. Relax and light myself on fire. But yeah, so thanks so much for listening, and we will see you, hear you, smell you. Turn
yep
several uh-huh soldiers into turkey Nazis next time.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.